God's people said. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy 1. I want to give you some context for today's sermon. 1 Timothy 1, I want to show you what Timothy is dealing with. It's so interesting, but it shouldn't surprise me one bit when it seems like everything in a service lines up. You know, songs we're singing, testimonies that have been given, you know, and I'm sure it's not just that way here in Ellicott City, but also in Columbia. You know, I just love it when God does stuff, and it's to me, I'm sitting here listening to what's going on, and I'm thinking, Lord, you are so good. How he just matches things up. 1 Timothy 3, 1, verse 3. I want you to show you the context. I want you to show you what this young man is dealing with. Timothy is a pastor, we believe, at the church at Ephesus. It was really a very hotbed of the Spirit's activity in New Testament times. But I want to show you what he's dealing with first. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, as I urge you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to him, as I urge you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, that's where he is, so that you may instruct certain men, apparently in the church, not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be the teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So what Timothy is, Timothy's in a situation where he's having to confront what we would call heresies, and apparently it's in his church or in the vicinity, and there's a division that's taking place in the church. And so the Apostle Paul in the books of Timothy, 1st and 2nd, most of the books are about encouragement to Timothy. When the text we're going to look at this morning, though, the first one I just read is a background, but the second one is where Timothy has struggled. He's experiencing what we might call spiritual burnout. As has been said this morning, his prayers were hitting the ceiling and bouncing off. And so today, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about rekindling a spiritual fire. You know, in prior weeks, we talked about revival. You know, that word has so many different meanings to so many different people, and particularly different generations. To my generations, you know, we went through revival, and it was like a week of services at our church. I can remember one revival. We had an artist that came to the church, and while the preacher's speaking, this artist is drawing paintings and you know, of what he's saying, and it was a powerful revival. But you know, it was done and over, and I just don't remember anything else happening. So I want to talk to you about being revived. How does that occur? Fanning the flame, so to speak. Rekindling the fire. That's what I want to speak. And it's interesting because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is going to write Timothy about. So turn to 2 Timothy now. Go to 2 Timothy, and we will look at chapter 1 in 2 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to begin in the 5th verse. Paul again talking to Timothy. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, the faith which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Very interesting. You know, that verse right there would give some Baptists just a little bit of heartburn. says, I want to remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Paul's in jail. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works or not because we deserved it, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. In other words, I'm not ashamed because I'm in jail as a criminal. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, Timothy, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Notice that. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Rekindling a spiritual fire. I looked up a definition for the word revive, and I found a lot of definitions, and maybe in giving you these definitions, you'll have a better idea of what it is we're talking about when we talk about being revived of the in the Spirit, or fanning the flame of the Spirit. Here's some of those definitions: to bring back to life or consciousness, to resuscitate, to bring back to life. Revive, by its definition, means that something at one point was alive, but now something has occurred and sort of the fires have grown dim and cold. To bring to new health, strength, or spirit. To energize, to quicken. You know, I don't know about you, but there's certain things that energize me. If I'm hungry, if I eat food, it will energize me. Sometimes, you know, I just, last night I'm working on this sermon and I just get so, I mean, it's like 7 o'clock, I'm getting so drowsy and I feel like, man, what am I going to do to get energized? I'm not done yet. And so I took a shower and it invigorated me. It revived me and I could continue what I had begun. So to revive means to energize. It means to quicken. You know, it means to quicken your pace. You know, it's like the things that I am quickened about. Most of us, you know, if we got a tickets to see the Baltimore Ravens play such and such, we are quickened to get to our seats. You know, not a whole lot of people, although there are some. My youngest son has told me, been going to when he went to the last Baltimore Orioles game, that he never made it out of the concessions area. Not me. I'm going to be quickened to get to my seat because I want to see that ball game. You know, say it's like to be revived and quickened into being at church because I don't want to miss any of the worship. That was beautiful. Oh, I love it. Did a powerful job today. Marvelous job. But I'm quickened to be here. I'm not going to be late. Just not, you know, the Lord willing, and absolutely yesterday, this time, I was praying my heart out that snow and the night before, that the ice and the snow would just blow us by. And can you imagine the joy I had this morning when I got in my car at 5 o'clock in the morning and came up here and the roads are dry? I'm praising the Lord. Absolutely quickened and invigorated. To revive means to restore to usefulness. You know, it's like, you know, Timothy is a minister. You know, there are times that ministers, you know, you can, in seminary, Dr. Bug, my preaching professor, would call it, he says, sometimes we can handle the holy so often as ministers and preachers that after a while we lose sort of the, just the absolute marvel of what we get to do on a Sunday basis. Do you ever, are you at that place, or can you remember when you were at that place and you just knew you needed to be revived? I want you to notice that how different translations translate this verse number 6. Verse number 6, and it reads this way in my translation, says, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you." Kindle afresh. So in the NIV, it says fan. The same word is translated, fan into flame the gift of God. I want to remind you how to fan into flame. You see, Timothy has come to a place, and for whatever the reason, it could be the struggle that he's having in his church. It could be, that we all go through periods of time where we just sort of, you know, we struggle to find God. You know, I have found in my own life that when I get up for a time in the morning, what I have found is that I, for a certain period of time, what really God really blesses is that I do journaling. As I journal, and my journal is like a prayer journal, and there are times when it seems to, he seems to bless me there, but then after a while, it seems like, you know, okay, I need to do something new. You know, Lord, so what I'll do is I'll go and I'll start reading a book of the Bible. Right now, I'm reading the book of Matthew, and God's blessing me as I read the book of Matthew, but I came to a point where, you know, the journaling wasn't sort of doing the same thing, and I needed to fan that flame. Can you relate to that? I love the way the King James put it. It says, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. You know, when was the last time you lit a fire? I lit a fire on Friday morning at the house. And, you know, here's how it went. I opened the fireplace, and down in the bottom, obviously are just ashes. You know, you can't light ashes. They're dead. You can't light ashes. You know, the first thing I could have stirred up those ashes all day long, but it wouldn't have made a bit of difference because there's no fire there. So the first thing I had to do is get those ashes out of there. And I put them in a plastic bag, threw them in the trash, and then I brought in my wood. And I don't know about you, but I'm sort of I just sort of like to do it the easy way. So I got these little starters. You know, I stacked my wood real high, and I threw in a couple of those stars. I lit them, and, you know, then I put some newspapers under there. That fire was roaring. You know, I nursed that fire, a couple of hours, and then I had to go do something else, and I came back to it. And, you know, all the wood was just about burned, but I could see down in the bottom. I could see under the grate. I can still see some of those coals. I could see them. Just a little bit of smoke. I could see them. You know, get that fire going again. Have to stir up those coals and add some fresh wood. See, how do you stir up the coals? That's what the King James is talking about. Stir up the coals. Stir that fire up. NAS again, kindle afresh. Notice it doesn't just say kindle the gift of God, because that would be the first time. It says kindle afresh. And so the text in and of itself is specifically addressing the individual who at one time has known God and has known that fire, and now it needs to be rekindled. How do you rekindle a fire? See, that's the question. How do I rekindle that? Same thing in the New English Translation, rekindle the gift of God. But what I want you to notice in all of those translations, they all have the same ending phrase. Maybe fan the flame of the gift of God. It may be rekindle the gift of God. It may be stir up the gift of God. But all of them end with that same phrase. It has to do with the gift of God which is in you. And so when it comes to being revived spiritually, we need to be sure we understand something, that we have to address a spiritual slumber with a spiritual approach. The gift of God that we are talking about is a spiritual response. He's not saying, let me let you take a self-help course. This is not a gimmick. This is something that what he's saying, you've got to address this spiritually. Thursday, I think it was, I met with the pastor that's sharing our space over Columbia. His name is Rolando. He's the Latino pastor of the church. They meet at like 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And he's working with us to try to help us get a grant. And so I met with Rolando, we're just doing preacher-pastor talk, and I said, hey, how's it going over there? And he said, man, you just cannot believe how good it's going over there. He said, my church has doubled. He said, my church has doubled in the last 6 months. I said, are you serious? I said, what's going on? He said, this is how it's happened. He said, when we were over at the Columbia building, the Columbia Association building, where they share space, he said, it was almost like you'd walk into that building, there was almost a darkness there. He said, I could just feel it. He said, we had all these different things we did. He said, we had a soccer camp for kids, and we went out and we gave this out, and we gave that, we tried to invite people, and he said, absolutely nothing happened. He said, as hard as we worked, nothing, he said, just nothing happened. He said, then what happened is we came to your church. He said, the first time we walked into the building over at Columbia, he said, I just felt the Spirit of God. He said, then what we decided to do is we decided to pray and fast that God would bless our church. He said, we didn't try any more things. We just prayed and fasted, and we came into a place where the Spirit of God was present. And he said, our church has doubled. Now, what is my point? My point is that when we have a spiritual issue, you've got to address it spiritually. That's why it says, rekindle the gift of God which is in you. What does that mean? What could Paul be saying when he says, rekindle the gift of God in you? Okay, think about it, brothers and sisters. Are you saved? Have you placed your faith in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins? That's salvation. How do I rekindle my salvation? He could be talking about, he could be saying, Timothy, I need you to rekindle how you began. He could be talking about, when he talks about the gift of God in you, he could be talking about the Holy Spirit. He could be talking about spiritual gifts as described in 1 Corinthians 12. Each of us, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have one or more spiritual gifts. We believe that the spiritual gift that Timothy had was a gift of evangelism, because he mentions that in the fourth chapter. So what is Paul saying? He could be saying, Timothy, I want you to rekindle that salvation. I want you to rekindle those spiritual gifts. Those things that God has given you to grow and advance. I want you to rekindle those things. Fan that flame. He could be saying, I want you to be revived in your interest for your church. You know those people that were causing the problem. I don't want you to be distracted by that. I want you to revive your interest there. But regardless of which one he's talking about, all of them are spiritual approaches to spiritual issues. It's not like things that are not spiritual don't impact us. But the primary way we need to address a spiritual issue is in a spiritual way. Now let me show you how the Apostle Paul specifically told Timothy to stir up the coals. First thing he did is he reminded Timothy of the significant people and significant spiritual events in his life. Notice what he says in that fifth verse. He says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well. You know what he's saying? Hey, Timothy, I knew your grandmother. I knew your mother. I know the believers that they are in Christ. I know, Timothy, that those were people who really solidly believed in God. They had a spiritual heritage. And Timothy, that's where you grew up. You received your faith from people who lived their faith. If there's ever a Bible verse or an example in Scripture where we would say the apple doesn't fall from the tree, or we would say that parents make a difference on their child's relationship to God, it is right here. Because right here you've got a grandmother and you've got a mother. And what Paul's saying is, he's saying, Timothy, remember those who are your heirs in the faith. Remember them and remember how their relationship to God, because you see, Timothy, that is something that is credible to you because you came to know Christ through them. So remember those significant events. Remember those significant people in your life. Who was a significant person in your life when you came to know Jesus Christ? Was it a coach on a football team? Was it a Sunday school teacher? Was it a pastor? What is a person in your home? Was it your mom? Was it your dad? I can still remember today seeing my father on his knees. I can remember that sight. I can remember seeing my dad in a pew at church, and he had a terrible arthritis situation, and in spite of how bad he felt, he was sitting in that pew. I can remember seeing my dad walk down the aisle over and over and over again, rededicating his life to Christ. If there's ever a person in my life who I know experienced grace, it was my daddy, because I saw it. I saw him. So who in your life would be someone that the Apostle Paul would say to you in that moment when you're sort of struggling spiritually and you need to be revived? Who would he say, remember so-and-so? What spiritual events? The Apostle Paul says, Timothy, do you remember that night that I laid my hands on you? Remember when I put the spiritual gift? If you have a problem with literally a transferring of the Spirit of God through the hands of an individual, you probably ought to take 1 and 2 Timothy out of your Bibles, because he says the same thing in chapter 4, verse 14, when the elders laid hands on him and pronounce a prophetic utterance upon him. It's like it's not that there's power in an individual, but the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, and through your belief and in your faith in what God does through an individual, you impart the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it says. And what he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, I want you to remember that. I know you're struggling, Timothy. I want you to remember that event. I'll never forget the moment that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior in a room with 500 young men in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, and the Spirit of God fell on us. I will never forget it. And if I ever doubt or if I ever have struggles about where I'm at spiritually, I'll be reminded of that event. I'll never forget the time when God called me into ministry. I will never forget that morning on August the 12th. I'll never forget that moment when God literally at a early morning quiet time fell upon me and said, I want you to go into the ministry. And I said, well, God, you better tell Debbie then. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the moment in India last March. I won't forget that. He said, I want you to come back to India, and I want you to tell them that I am going to do revival. I don't forget those things. What about you, you see? How might we stir up the coals that you might be revived? What would it bring to mind? What would come to mind? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Remember the things where you know that God was present. Rekindle it. Fan the flame. The Apostle Paul reminded him of significant people and events. Then he told him something about the Spirit of God that was in him. He said that God gifts are like treasures that must be guarded. They must be built up and kept ready for use. He says in that 12th verse, he says, first, he says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard whom, he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What have you entrusted to God? I've entrusted my soul with God. I've entrusted my life to God. I've entrusted that. And what the scripture says is that God is going to guard that. He's going to guard my soul. He's going to guard. It's like if you think of a fire, that coal, when it comes to comparing it to your relationship to the Lord, it may grow dim, but it will not go out because God is guarding it. I am confident of that. I believe in that. Because God guards it. God guards your salvation. Guards it. What does he ask you and I to do? He asks us to guard the gift of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts and the ministries and opportunities he's given us like a treasure. Like a treasure. Like a valuable treasure. That's what he says in verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So what does that say, brothers and sisters? If there are times in your life where you are struggling spiritually, what do you do with that? You see, we go back to what we've said before. You're responsible for your face. You're responsible for the entrustments, the callings, the purposes, the spiritual gifts, not to allow them to grow cold. You're to guard them through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you when you need to guard and treasure those gifts. But see, I have found some spiritual principles that help me to know when a caution light ought to come up in my mind. You see, if you were to compare the physical versus the spiritual, there's a very interesting relationship if you compare what happens to us physically, for example, with food, to what happens to us spiritually with spiritual food. This past Friday night, I'm starving. In fact, it's supper time, and I decide I'm going to fix me a ham sandwich. I am famished. I'm so hungry. Because see, when I have a physical hunger, I got to satisfy that hunger. And so what do? I go to the refrigerator. I pull out, Debbie bought this big, the ham, the kind that you it's not in the plastic pack. It's this big ham, and you slice it off this whole hock, and pull it off in a big, put that on my bread and put about a pound of Duke's mayonnaise. And I am ready to eat a good supper. In fact, I had pulled so much ham off that I had I had my sandwich filled, and then I had two or three whole sheets sitting on my plate. Well, I ate that sandwich, and I was satisfied. And I nibbled on those pieces that were sitting on my plate, and I was done. Didn't want any more. When I first saw it, what my appetite was, and my eyes were bigger than what my appetite was. And so I had all this leftover ham. I didn't eat the rest of it. This went bad. Well, compare that to spiritual food. There's an opposite relationship. This is a really important principle. Unlike physical food, where the more you eat, you eventually come to the place where you don't want any more. With spiritual food, the more you eat, the more you want. more you feed on the Word, the more time you have with God, the more you want. For me, here's what happens to me. My alarm clock is going to go off at 5 o'clock every morning. And there are going to be a lot, and there are lots of mornings. I do not want to get up yet. I just hit that 10-minute button. You know, I got a 10-minute button that after you've hit it about 5 times, it just stops going off anymore. Well, you know what I have found will get me up by 5:30? I'll start thinking about how much I want to be with Jesus. And I will think about that. I'm thinking, I'm getting out of this bed, man. I want to spend some time with Jesus. And so what happens is that is what gets me out of bed. Because the more I have, the more I want. In spite of the fact that I really like to sleep, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit with Jesus. You see the spiritual principle. See, I've also found this. I've also found, and I've seen this and observed this in so many people, I've also found this, that if for some reason I am unable to spend time with Christ, or some reason, and this is not something that I can do, praise the Lord, let's suppose I stop for some reason in just coming to church. You know what I found? I found is, if I say no to the Spirit of God, then the next time He speaks, I'll be more likely to say no. And eventually it will come to the place where I forget why I said yes in the first place. And I won't even want to be in the presence of God because I have missed all these times and somehow it's almost as if what I have done is I have extinguished the fire of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, do not quench the Holy Spirit of God. It's like what I've done is, and have you not noticed that? Have you ever experienced that? Let's suppose you missed church 4 Sundays in a row. Maybe 2 of those you were sick and 2 of those you were on vacation. When you come to the 5th, you have to fight to get up to be here. See, I just want you to know that principle. Because you see, you are to guard the treasure that is in you. And if that happens, you must do the opposite of what your feelings are telling you to do. See, when it comes to rekindling a fire, there are 2 things that have to happen to rekindle a fire. The first is I got to stir the coals. That's what you do. The second one, you got to have some more wood. Got to have some more fuel. Do you know who brings the fuel when it comes to being revived? Spiritual revival is not about you working more. It is a process of stirring up the coals where their change has to take place. You know, stirring up the coals, looking at my life. Okay, Lord, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm stirring up the coals. But in the final analysis, what has to happen is the Spirit of God. It's the fuel. He is the fuel. You can't work revival. You can't work that. God works that as you yield to Him and you desire. You want God. If you don't have the desire, you say, God, give me the desire. It is of God. And do you think that Satan is not going to do everything in his power to keep you away from revival, from being revived? Satan will do absolutely everything he can in his power. Whether that has to do with unforgiveness in your heart, anger in your heart, lust in your heart, Satan will do everything he can to make you believe that somehow you're not worthy for the Holy Spirit to pour himself out on you. No, revival is you stirring up the coals, but revival is the Holy Spirit pouring forth the Spirit of God upon you. And he can't wait to do that. How do you stir up those coals? You got to open the Word of God. You know, it's like we've said so many times in recent weeks, we got to find where God is working. Every time you open the Word of God and you hear the Spirit of God saying, this is something in your life I want to change, you walk with the Spirit, you join the Spirit when you listen to the Word and you do what he says. You open the Word, you walk by the Spirit, you practice prayer and fasting. You use your spiritual gifts to grow the kingdom of God. In each one of those areas, there is a feeding that takes place, and the Spirit of God takes that feeding as like a seed that is planted in the soil, and he begins to grow it. Open the Word. Practice prayer and fasting, spiritual prayer and fasting. And use your spiritual gifts to grow the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, I think that God wants to rekindle the fire at Bethany Church. I think he wants to fan the flames. I think he wants to quicken our steps. I think he wants to invigorate us. That's what I believe God is saying to me. In the same way that God said to the Apostle Paul, which was brought to Timothy, God's saying that to me for you and me together. Rekindling and fanning the flames requires the stirring up of the coals. I've got to look at things differently. I've got to say, okay, God, are you speaking to me? I'm going to give you three things God has told me to tell you, tell us. We're going to India next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to volunteer for one or part of a day of fasting and prayer for those people who are in India during that 2-week period of time. I want every single day covered by someone in this church, one or more people, young, old, middlers, generation hopers, children. I want fasting and prayer. You decide how you're going to define that fast. You know, when Jesus was asked about fasting, he said, it's not time for fasting and prayer. After I've gone, then they will fast in prayer. What I think Jesus was saying was this. He was saying, you know what? When you're in the midst of ministry, you're in the very heat of it. It's too much on an individual to ask them to fast and pray and then to be in India. The people in India cannot fast in prayer. They need their strength simply to get through the day. So if you will do that, if you will agree to that, one or more people, I want you to sign up. I want you to put your name down. I want you to call Shirley in the church office. I want you to send her an email saying, hey, I'll take such and such a day. I'm going to be fasting on that day. Because I want to be able to tell the team back in India, well, on this day, we have this person praying, this person fasting. Because you see, I honestly believe with all of my heart that if we do not address this spiritually, if we address it in the flesh, physically, we will fail. But if we address it spiritually, there is no way we can fail. I do not believe he has called 22 people to India. I believe he's called 300. But you don't have to have boots on the ground in order to be a part of that call and purpose. So I'm asking you to sign up. You say, why fasting? Let me ask you a question. If fasting isn't important, why did Jesus begin his ministry in Matthew 4 with 40 days of prayer and fasting if it was not important? That defies spiritual logic. If Jesus begins that way, why would we not do what our Savior did? Secondly, so really the first one is to fast and pray. The second one is I want you to sign up. Here's the third one. I'm calling it the 30 by 30 plan. 30 by 30 plan. Here's what that means for 30 days. For 30 days, you will open the Word of God and read it for 30 minutes without missing a day. Oh, you say, oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. Stirring up the coals, see? Stirring up the coals. That's what I'm doing. How does that little saying go? If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. So if I'm saying to you, and I'm saying that I believe God's calling me and saying he wants to revive us, and I'm saying that it's got to take place on a spiritual plane, spiritual role, spiritual model, how can it not include 30 days in the Word of God for 30 minutes a day? How can it not, you see? Because, you see, I know that what you're going to do is you're going to, what do you remember what he says in 1 Peter 2:2? He says, desire the pure milk of the Word like a newborn desires his mama's milk. How am I going to know what I desire, how I can desire the Word of God if I don't open it up? That defies. It's sinful. Do you follow what I am saying? Do you think that the Church of Jesus Christ is in need to be reinvigorated? Do you think that the Church of Jesus Christ in America needs to be filled with the Spirit of God? So come, church. Join in what God wants to do. And remember, it's just like what we saw at Christmas. No one is going to make you do anything. God will not make you. What God will do is he will give you the information. He will give you the message, and then you decide whether you will join where God is working. So I'm asking you to do 30 minutes a day in Bible study and prayer for the next 30 days. I'm asking you during that period of time to ask the Holy Spirit for more of Jesus in your life. You know what I mean? Give me more of you. Jesus, give me more of you. And lastly, I'm going to ask you to ask the Spirit to give you a daily opportunity to open your mouth for Jesus Christ. I listened to a sermon one time by Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley said, okay, are you want to be serious about being used of God? You get up. Ask God to send you a divine appointment that day. And then you open your eyes and watch for it. And when he crosses your path, speak. For 30 days, I'm asking you to begin your day by asking God to bring you a divine appointment.